The newest report from America's health rankings shines a light on the unique challenges faced by women and children, especially in light of the pandemic. The two groups make up a substantial part of the population, and this report paints a grim picture of their current well-being. In Arizona in particular, it finds anxiety has increased more than 20% among children and teens since 2017, and teen suicide has increased 26% since 2014. It also found increasing mental distress in women, plus rising levels of obesity and maternal mortality. These issues are often worse for people of color. None of this surprises our next guest. Dr. Melissa Estevillo is a clinical psychologist in Phoenix, and she spoke more about what she's hearing from her clients with our co-host, Lauren Gilger.
There has been a significant change. What I've seen the most has been the volume of concerns and the severity of concerns. So we've seen it across the board that, you know, people are in a lot more distress, and they're in distress about more than one thing. So it might be relationship distress and parenting and work and how to juggle all of their responsibilities. So it's been very difficult for a lot of people.
Do you think that's pandemic related? Like, how has that sort of manifested in your clients?
I think it's 100% pandemic related. I don't know that it's directly related to fear about COVID, though I think that that was a big contributor, but I think it's been the ripple effect from COVID. It's been having to work from home and being concerned about your kids' mental health and trying to make sure they're not watching too much TV while you're trying to juggle your job and make sure that they're online and they're able to figure out how to be on their computer. So the stress of all of it has just been overwhelming for a lot of people.
Yeah. Okay, so this report highlights, you know, major mental health concerns among mainly women and children. Let's start by talking about women. It says we're seeing increased mental stress in women, increasing levels of obesity, high unemployment for women in particular. Does any of this surprise you based on what you're hearing from your clients these days?
It doesn't at all. You know, I think there has been a growing awareness of the emotional load or mental load that women carry, meaning that they don't just have to execute a lot of the tasks, but they have to hold some of the worries and concerns about a lot of these. So when we add to that list of worries and concerns, you can see where it would push women to a point of saying, I can't work and be a good mom or good caregiver or a good spouse to someone or partner. And so it's definitely been too much for many to handle, and understandably.
How do you approach that with people? Do you sort of try to remind them how unique a situation we are living through right now?
You know, it's interesting. I think for a lot of people, when they realize that they're quote unquote normal, that they're not the only one, that actually creates a lot of resiliency where people are able to look and stop criticizing themselves, but are able to engage in more creative, solution-focused problem solving when they know that they're not alone in this.
Yeah. You said that you don't think it's necessarily, you know, it's not all about fear of COVID, but are you starting to hear people be concerned about some of these sort of existential questions, these things that are out of our control, as opposed to, say, you know, practical kind of things that happen in our everyday lives and how we balance things?
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel a ton of distress when they feel powerless. And I think that's been something that's been happening a lot for people, is that they might feel like the government should be handling COVID in a certain way. And yet in many ways, they're powerless to do anything about that. So that's been really difficult. Or they might be powerless to be able to influence their kids' school and be able to control their education. So that powerlessness has been pretty overwhelming.
Yeah. You're a mom too yourself, right? Like, you understand this kind of thing. Do you bring that into your work?
Yeah, I think it's really important for people to realize that as a psychologist, I'm a human being too. And, you know, quite frankly, when we were working from home, they could hear my kids potentially banging on the wall or getting into an argument. So we did our very best to make sure that it was as confidential and quiet as possible for clients, but they very much were able to see how distressing it was.
What about kids? This is sort of auxiliary in your work, but something I'm sure you're hearing a lot about. The report really stresses issues we're seeing in children, increased teen suicide rates, anxiety is way up among kids. What are you hearing?
The exact same thing. I think that many kids have struggled through the pandemic. And, you know, they are, as a group, less resilient to change. And so it was a massive change for them to have to come home and change the way they interacted with their peers or interacted with their school system. And in many ways, right when they started to feel comfortable, we changed back to in person. Mm. And so that kind of shift and change over the past 18 months has really been a large emotional load for them.
So how does all of this, you know, these mental health issues among women and children in particular, bleed sort of beyond families themselves, beyond individual needs, you think, into the needs that we're seeing on a broader scale in the community?
Yeah, I think that, you know, women and children are in many ways the backbone of our society. They're what, you know, we rely on to be able to be functional or what we're really working so hard for. And so when they are not in the best place, I think it affects all of us.
What's the message that you can give to those people then? I mean, like, it's so multifaceted, it's so difficult. We're seeing it on such a mass scale, maybe in a unique way in history. What is it that you tell your clients? How do we cope?
I think being able to see how resilient they are in the face of massive change and uncertainty, I think creates the self-esteem and the motivation to keep trying, you know, to say it's really not about us doing it perfectly, but defining what quote unquote good enough is. I think so often we get upset if things aren't achieving at the highest level. And yet we need to remember, what are the basics that kids need? They need to feel loved. They need to feel protected. They need to feel that the people around them are watching out for them. And they're able to navigate a lot of the other inconsistencies and uncertainties really well when they have that foundation.
Yeah. So having maybe survived this pandemic, I'm not going to say it's over because it is certainly not. What are your big takeaways from the last year and a half or more here? What are the lessons learned on your part?
I think it's important for people to reflect when they feel a sense of calm with what they were able to survive through. I think so often we get through things that are hard and we're just heads down on to the next thing. And we don't really get some of the mental health benefits from seeing how we survived something really hard. And so I really encourage people to reflect on what they were able to do and how creative they were and their relationships, how they were able to survive or grow stronger. I think that that's an important takeaway.
Yeah. All right. That is Dr. Melissa Estevillo, clinical psychologist in Phoenix, joining us to talk more about the effect we're seeing on women and children and their mental health right now. Dr. Estevillo, thank you so much for taking the time and coming on. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.